Hey, ladies, is your husband as big of a sports nut as mine is? Oh my gosh. Now, I knew what I was signing up for because my dad is also a huge sports fanatic. Sports are just such a big part of my day-to-day household life. I was not prepared for that. My husband is either got a game on or he's reading an article about it, or he's listening to a sports podcast, or he's studying stats or putting together his brackets, or he's drafting his fantasy football team, or he's on WhatsApp with all his friends back home in Michigan, smack talking about their fantasy sports teams. It's like, it's just never ending. It's such a big part of our lives. And so I thought with so much football on during the holidays, it'd be good to really find out what is the deal with guys and their sports. And because I care and I want them to be happy, like, how can I support you there? So take a listen. This is for all the ladies that are NFL widows, just like I am. Wow, honey, thank you so much for joining me for this podcast episode.
You're more than welcome. I think I have to speak for all my all the guys out there as we go into Thanksgiving weekend.
And all the wives, too. This is definitely a gift for all of you ladies. So let's just get into it. What is the deal with men and football?
Okay, here we go. So I've thought a lot about this. And the first point I would like to make around football, and I'll say let's break it out into all sports, okay? So professional sports and college sports specifically. It's all about the bonding with your friends, your family, and then, let's be honest, complete strangers, right? So, you know, men, as we grow up, we usually have a connection with some sort of team. For me, it's the Michigan State Spartans, the Detroit Lions, Detroit Pistons, Detroit Tigers. And so that connection with those teams has stuck with me since I was a small boy. And, you know, growing up with my family going to Michigan State basketball football games, going to on road trip to Detroit to watch the professional sports teams. So there's an emotional connection that I'll have with those teams and where I'm from until I die. And not to be morbid, right? But, you know, especially when those teams haven't won any championships in a long, long time. Now, that being said, it's also a common connection for me to have with my friends from home and then even for other friends that I've met that I've made over the years that have their own teams, like the guys that are from Cleveland that I'm friends with from undergrad, or the people from North Carolina because, you know, they have this connection with, say, the North Carolina Tar Heels, and North Carolina and Michigan State have battled in basketball many times in the Final Four. So it's something that we can bond over. And then, you know, when I say strangers, It's a common ground. So if I'm at an airport in the U.S., not so much here in Sri Lanka, but an airport in the U.S. and I'm waiting for the plane and I'm sitting at the bar having a beer and there's a baseball game on or a football game on, I can sit down next to another traveler and have a common conversation. And so it's a great way to find common ground with your fellow man. I think, especially in this day and age with all the divisive stuff and politics and everywhere else, sports is one area where men can have a connection, a fast, and have a conversation with and bond over, whether you known someone for 20, 30 years or whether you just met them 20 minutes ago.
Okay. All right. I kind of get it.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about the fantasy. I mean, fantasy is like a whole different level with you. And for the listeners, my husband is not in one fantasy sports league. He's in like three.
So I played two fantasy football teams. So one with my friends that I grew up with and it's a league that's been running for decades. And then another one with my friends from graduate school. And I had been in other ones along the way, like work people and whatnot, but I dropped out. So I'd only do two fantasy football teams. And then I do an NFL picks pool with about 150 people half of which I've known from hometown or from Lansing or they're friends of friends. And then another couple different picks pools and some other stuff with the NBA and other things along the way. So I've been doing fantasy sports since ninth grade. Okay. So this is part of who I am. And, you know, this is before this whole thing and the computers and internet and all that. And back in the day, the fantasy football, you'd play the game on Sunday and you wouldn't find out who won until Wednesday or Thursday because you had to wait for the report to show up in the mail. That's just how old school I am when it comes to fantasy sports. So, but for guys in their, say, 30s and 40s, family men with kids, it's wife and kids, and they have jobs and everything, it's a chance for them to live in a fantasy world and not, like, all Dungeons and, you know, go all Dungeons and Dragons on you, which is not that there's anything wrong with that. But it's an opportunity for you to practice your strategic thinking and planning as you go into the season. You got to do your research and understand who you're targeting in the draft and what's happening in the league and where the injuries are, who's healthy, who's not, and what the team, the who's going to be the up-and-coming players this year. And when you predict something to happen that comes true in the season, especially for NFL football, there is no better feeling. You're flying high for 3 months straight. So, like, right now in the NFL, there's this kid named Lamar Jackson who just turned 22, and he wasn't a top draft pick in any fantasy league, and he is on pace to outscore just about every other quarterback in history of fantasy football, not just this season. So the guys that have Lamar Jackson this year are just – they're just so proud of themselves, and they can walk with a pep in their step. So it gives you that. It also, when you play with friends, there's a whole element of let's see, this is a G-rated podcast, so I'll call it crap talking that you can do, and pride that you have. So you make fun of your friends when you beat them, and you celebrate with let's say politically correct or politically incorrect boasting when you win, and when you win, especially when you win the title. I'd say that all that, for me specifically, living so far away from home right now, it's a way for me to maintain these connections with my boys that I grew up with.
It's really sweet. Okay, tell me about that trophy that we once had in our house when you won something.
Okay.
We had a big trophy.
Yeah, so I was the first back-to-back winner in the Lock of the Week competition, where you pick only one NFL game per week against the spread, and I won, I think it was 2012 and 2013, and also I was the, and this was after years of toiling at the bottom of the pack, that I had 2 years straight where I won the Lock of the Week title, and so we had the trophy and we carried it around with us. And,
we carried it around the country.
Yeah,
we were moving.
Carried it around the country. And I would have had a third title had the Atlanta Falcons not completely blown it against the New England Patriots a few years ago in the second half of the NFL. Of the Super Bowl, because I had the Falcons and my buddy David Stahl had the Patriots. And although we had worked out a deal to share the pot, whoever won. But that's another whole other story.
Okay, yeah. That's another episode, yeah. That we probably won't record. Okay, so this one time you were so mad one morning after a football game, and you were off to work just pissed off, and you said you were giving up fantasy because Aaron Rodgers had taken a knee the night before, and I took a picture of it because I couldn't believe you said you were giving up fantasy. Yeah. What happened?
So I was in the playoffs, and I had a good team, and Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in for a long, long time. And so what happens in the end of a NFL game, if the team's winning, instead of moving the ball forward or taking a risk with the play, the quarterback takes a knee, right? Common strategy. But the way the points work is you get points for the running yards, right? So if you run for every 10 yards, you get 1 point, okay? And Aaron Rodgers had ran for, I don't know, 10 or 20 yards that game, but by his action of taking two steps back and taking a knee on two or three straight plays, I can't recall because I tried to block that out of my mind, caused me to get negative points for those plays. And because of that, I lost the game by 1 point. And so I've had a lot of bad beats, but it's a great point. Okay, so here's the thing about fantasy football. So first off, guys, if you're listening, or wives, you know, you give your husbands one story per week, or one that they can complain about their fantasy football teams. And, you know, guys know this, but they don't practice it. Nobody cares about anybody else's fantasy football teams. And so, you know, you meet somebody and they start talking about fantasy football and they start telling you all about their team and their bad beats. And honestly, nobody cares. But, you know, the polite thing to do is listen and not reciprocate, you know, so you can tell one story per week to your wife or to your friend about your team, and then that's it. Right?
I can handle one story.
Yeah. And then you should also try to find, every time you have one of these bad beats, you should look for the opposite, because I guarantee you there's situations where you lucked out with some random catch that didn't mean anything, or a meaningless touchdown, or a backdoor cover that caused you to win your week. that week in fantasy football, and you never talk about how lucky you were that happened, right? So I think we have to be fair, guys, about that.
Okay, so in our household, and I'm sure many of yours too, it's way more than just American football. And now that we're living in Sri Lanka, oh my God, there's like rugby, cricket, we won't get into that. So talk a little bit about what happens every March when you and your buddies go to Vegas. They've been doing this for like 20 years, ladies.
Yeah. So we go for March Madness, and the first weekend of the NCAA college basketball tournament, for men's tournament. And what we do is go for the first weekend where the games start on, well, they start on Tuesday night now, but the bulk of the games start Thursday morning, Vegas time, and go until Sunday evening. And, we're not staying out late because we're up at 7 a.m. I'm up at like 5 a.m. So we can get good seats at the sports books and watch all the games, and we wager on the games, and we all have jobs. So it's all responsible wagering. Although back in the day, I would say that I tended to come home broke from those trips. Done a little bit better in recent years. Anyways, but that's really beside the point. March Madness in itself is just a special time of the year. There's no other sport in the world where an underdog, like a school, like say there was a school that has only a couple thousand kids, and then goes up against a powerhouse like University of Kentucky, which probably has 30,000-40,000 kids and has all these one and done NBA players, and takes them out in the NCAA tournament. And so there's been, a few years ago, there was the 16 seed, which is one of the, of the 64 teams in the tournament, they're like number 64, took out the overall number one, the University of Virginia. It was the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I mean, these kids are not going to be in the NBA. These kids are not going to go play in the pros. But to watch them walk into that gym with ultimate confidence and just start hitting three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer, and everything they're throwing up's going in, and the whole like city of Vegas and all the sports books are going crazy because it's so much fun to see the number one teams go down, and to watch watch Virginia lose like that is just, there's no other sport like it. So it's just what the experience of the Cinderella, the underdog, and have, especially when you pick one of those Cinderellas in your bracket to go to win their game or even make it to the Final Four, it's an incredible feeling, right? So again, it's something that can when you have the drudgery of life as a working guy and a family man, it just gives you a little bit of pep in your step in the springtime. And then when you have a team like, so for me, Michigan State, we've got this legendary coach, Tom Izzo. Now he's only got one title, but he's one of the top coaches in terms of going to the Final Four. I think it's 8 Final Four trips in the 25 years he's been coaching. And so watching that team pull together and go on a run like they did last season, where they took out Duke, and with a three-point shot by a walk-on senior shoots a three-pointer over Zion Williamson, the number one pick in the NBA draft, to knock Duke out. To watch these kids make it to the Final Four, and it's just a tremendous experience too, even from over here on the other side of the world.
Wow, it's really emotional when you explain it.
Yeah,
like
exactly, right? Yeah, you're beyond.
Okay, so why don't you share, like, why should women let their husbands watch football or any of these sports?
Yeah. So I think the other thing about, so for the fantasy football and for all, and even like March Madness and everything, it's such a mental stimulation, So it's much more mentally stimulating than watching TV, other than like some of these shows like The Watchmen, where you have to, really work your brain to watch them. But that's a whole nother podcast. I think it's cheap entertainment. And much cheaper than going to playing a round of golf, cheaper than a night out drinking. It's cheaper than, doing things like skydiving or something like that. I mean, turn on the game and watch it, right? It's a great opportunity for dads to bond with their kids, to introduce them to the sports that they loved. I know that, I was introduced to basketball by my parents, and I grew up watching my first recollections of pro basketball was the Celtics and the Lakers. And so I remember, going up against my neighbor. We'd play my neighbor, Mark Nelson. He was a great basketball player. And so he would take on the persona of Magic Johnson, and I would be Larry Bird, and we would play 2 games at my house, 2 games at his house, and then back and forth. So we'd play a 7-game series and to recreate the NBA Finals. And so that was when we were like 6, 7, 8 years old. And so this, it's just, it's a great way for, to bond with your children and then teach them about sports and then watch their imaginations of how they can, you know, take on the, make their imaginations run wild when it comes to imagining themselves in the, as a professional athlete.
That's so, I actually know who Larry Bird and Magic Johnson are.
There you go.
Yeah. So we got the holidays coming up. There's a lot of opportunities for our men to watch football. You want to speak to that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to. So it's not just football. Okay. So first off, there's the bowl games. And so, you know, I do these bowl pools, right? So I have to pick all the bowl games. So, I mean, it could be
I have to pick all the bowl
Liberty
games.
Tax Slayer, you know, Roto-Rooter Bowl played in played in Biloxi, Mississippi with about two, you know, just the parents and families of the kids. That's about 2,000 students at this, or 2,000 people at this, watching this football game. And I'm sitting there watching it, you know, on a Thursday morning. And that's because I need to have, you know, it's like I need something to break up the family time during the holidays. And so being able
I'll try
to
not to take that personally. Yeah, you know,
because it's like, it's just something to do, right? When you're sitting at home for on vacation for a couple of weeks. And, you know, it's just, you can get into it, especially if you've got, if you make a pick on one of the games. And then you take, like, Thanksgiving, you know, I got the Detroit Lions playing. And then, you know, so that's a good way to fill those. When we're in California, these are all California time, right? So it's a way to fill out the morning, watching the Lions play. And then you have dinner, and then you watch the, you know, or you watch the Cowboys as you're getting ready for dinner. And then there's a night game. So, you know, it's an easy way to pass the day with family, and it breaks up the monotony of the day and gives you something to do. Because come on, there's only so many conversations you can have.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you before we offend my family. Yeah. Although I will say it is great being on West Coast time.
Yeah.
We're not anymore, but when we were, because the games were so early,
that's
you
right.
still had
that's
like
good.
The rest of the day.
That's good. And I guarantee if you piped in your father, who had
huge sports nut,
and you know, just going back to when I first met him and how happy he was to have a man in the house during the Super Bowl, the year the Giants and the Patriots played, and the Giants had the upset of the Patriots. I mean, it was, he was
do
very
you, do
pleased.
You remember what year that was?
2010.
No.
2009? Yeah.
I don't know when you met him for the first time.
Well, the Patriots.
Down there?
Yeah. Well, that for the Super Bowl. Yeah, it would have been 2008. Super Bowl 2008.
Yeah.
Well, the Patriots played the Giants a few times, so in the Super Bowl over that 5-year period, so.
Okay, I got to tell a funny story. So the night Pat and I met, he had asked me out, and it was a really important football game. Of course, I don't know this, so I show up at the bar, and the game is on. And what game was it?
It was the Patriots and the Eagles, and the New England Patriots were going for an undefeated season, and it was a Sunday night game in Philadelphia, I believe. So it was in Philadelphia, is a good team at the time. So an opportunity for the Patriots to go down to take a loss, which arguably they should have. If they would have lost one game, then they maybe would have had less pressure on them come Super Bowl time, where they got upset by the Giants. But anyways, that's a whole other story.
So all I remember was meeting my future husband. He remembers this football game that was on that night.
And I said, and I brought it up. I said, hey, don't you know what's going on here? And you had no idea other than you knew who Tom Brady was.
Yeah, I didn't know who Tom Brady was because he was dating Jessica Simpson, I think, at the time. Or
that's Tony Romo. Come on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Tom Brady was. Tom Brady, certainly. It was Giselle. He wouldn't date Jessica Simpson.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, honey. I love that you love sports so much. Is there anything else I can do to support you in this habit?
Let's see. Well, you can help me break out of my rut that I'm in picking NFL games lately.
Okay, sure. Let me see the list.
All right.
Very good. Thanks for being on. I love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
There it is, ladies. Okay, I don't love sports. I don't love that it's on all the time, that it's so consuming. But I love that he loves it. I love the connections that he has with his friendships over it. And with my dad, too. And it's just something that lights him up that he gets so excited about. How can I not be for that? So I hope you can survive all the holidays with all the football that's coming your way. See you soon.